Hey, Ash.
Hello, Taryn.
Oh, no. I misplaced my fun fact. 1 second.
It's a rough start.
No, it's not. It's accurate. Oh, okay. Ready?
Yes.
Did you know a platypus... Rewind. Did you know a platypus doesn't have a stomach at all? Their esophagus is just connected to their intestines.
So it just goes straight, like, whole?
I don't know.
Well, obviously they chew.
I don't
do
know.
They chew?
Like, what is their, you know,
do platypus have teeth?
Do platypuses poop?
Pusses.
Isn't that interesting?
Lots of questions. But
like,
also,
where is their food
if
digest?
It's directly connected to their intestines, can it, like, come up? There's got to be a wall or something.
Also, like,
a valve?
Can they only eat small amounts at a time?
I don't know.
Fascinating. Someone tell us. Someone send us some YouTube links.
Dear God.
And that is Fun Facts with Taryn. I should have a jingle.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, God. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Unsolicited Advice. I'm Ashley. That's Taryn. And this is the podcast where you guys send in your stories and we give you advice on it. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's, not that great.
Sometimes it's good. Most of the time, it's excellent.
Or vice versa.
Do you feel like...
Most of the time, it's good. Sometimes it's excellent.
No. No.
I think you're
right. What was I going to say? Oh, I don't feel like I've ever walked away, because I'm one of those people that all have a conversation, and if I feel like I said something stupid or wrong, I'll replay that conversation in my head for like at least 24 hours.
I would go even further. There's stuff I've said in high school that I still think about today.
Yes. And yeah. It's stuff where you're like, oh my gosh, like I know that I didn't come across clearly and they probably misunderstood what I said, mm-hmm. or I can't believe I called it that. That's not even the right word for it. Whatever. Yeah. And I don't feel like I've ever left here replaying something I said and been being like, I shouldn't have said that.
Really?
I don't think so.
I'm sure I have. In high school, I think I was one of those people that struggled with like small, little, perpetual white lies. And I remember telling my...
Really?
I remember telling my friend, we were talking about driving. We had just gotten our licenses. And her name was Jasmine. And we were talking about driving like to school and driving to and from different places. And I told her, she mentioned about like, oh, I heard like if you can drive in LA, you can drive everywhere. And I was like, I drove in LA. And she was like, no, you didn't. And I was like, yeah, I have.
Wait, had you?
No. And I don't know to this day what made me feel like I could say something like that. And what I love is how well she knew me and how well she knew I had not.
You don't even have your license?
To this day, I never admitted I had. No, I had my license. I had just gotten it, though. So, of course, I hadn't driven in L.A. I was in Redlands, California. Like, it's not, you know.
Interesting. Okay, so.
To this day, I'm like, why did you do that?
So, this is so interesting to me because I feel like a lot of times people who are, like, perpetual just, like, I hate saying liars because it sounds so aggressive, but like
right.
The little white lies. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of times like you can trace it back to like really strict or harsh parents. So like they develop the like making up stuff because they don't want to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Or I mean, there's other things like psychologically you can tie it to too. It depends on the situation. But that's interesting because your biggest – where you like freeze up is if you feel like you did something wrong or mm-hmm. you're going to be in trouble. Mm-hmm. So like that kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think it totally makes sense. And I think at that time specifically, as are most people in high school, I was like trying to find myself, I feel like a lot of my friends thrived in high school and had amazing high school experiences and I just didn't. So I think I was constantly trying to create this fun narrative for myself, which I remember like the older I got, the more I was like, if that happened, I'd catch it and I'd feel it and I'd be like, knock it off.
Yeah,
like
why
that's
did you do that?
So stupid. Like, that's pointless. Why would you say that? So there was a period of time where I was trying to stop myself from doing those white lies. But in high school,
it's
yeah.
So interesting.
I convinced myself I had driven in LA when I absolutely had not.
Yeah.
And I still think about it today.
That's so interesting. Wow. I don't even know what started that tangent, but I loved it.
Yeah. I know like I'm not the only one. I know it's something a lot of kids go through as they're like trying to find themselves.
Absolutely. And
but
I
if you have funny stories like that, you should send it in because that would make me feel better.
I don't remember. I'm having deja vu.
Lovely.
We're supposed to be here, Ash.
Matrix.
I don't remember if I've talked about this on the podcast, but when I was younger, my dad is a very he commands respect.
He does.
He doesn't demand it. He like just his presence, mm-hmm. like everyone who meets him, you're like, oh, like I want you to like approve mm-hmm. of me. It's weird. It's this unspoken like
it happened
vibe
to me.
He gives. Yeah.
To this day, I can't call him by his first name. He is Mr. E.
Mr. E.
And he
yeah.
was never my teacher. But like he is, I can't call him his first name.
Yeah. Oh my God. And he like it's gushes weird. Over you. He loves you more than me, but it's fine.
Because I've worked really hard to get there.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. No, literally Ashley would show up to family functions and my dad would just be like, Ashley. And I'm sitting there like, hello. I've
Your
been
only
in the
daughter.
Room 15 minutes. You haven't said hi to me. But anyways, so I think I had this internal power struggle with him, but I couldn't verbally do it to him. So mm-hmm. it would come out in weird things. And one of the things, it was interesting because like me and my therapist talked about this because she says I still have a parental self-talk. Like I get on myself a lot or anyways.
Yeah.
That's it. This is a deeper topic for another time. But one of the things is I would refuse to take showers if he would tell me to go take a shower.
Interesting.
When I was young. So I remember like he'd be like, go take a shower. And I'd be like, okay. So then I'd go in the bathroom and I would just lay on the floor for a while. I'd turn on the shower. I'd just be like playing with my hair, like doing whatever. I was like a child, you know? And I remember this one time I turn the shower off, I do whatever. And obviously he had caught on. So I remember I opened the door. And he's standing there, and I was just, like, staring, right? Because mm-hmm. I was, like, in my clothes, not a drop of water on
me. Completely dry.
And I remember he's like, did you take a shower? I was like, yeah. He's like, did you take a shower? I was like, well, I just washed my body with a wash rag. Did you take a shower? I wiped myself with some toilet paper. Like, I was just so, like, nervous, and I was, like, too scared to say it. But that was my way of, like, internally being, like,
sticking it
you know
to
what
them.
I mean? Yeah. But it's so funny how, like, in kids, like, stuff manifests like that, and you're just like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Like, I needed to take a shower.
It's so silly. And, like, why waste all that water? Yeah. Like, why not at least body shower? Like, I get I not wanting to wash your hair because sometimes it feels like a lot of work.
No, I was just being a little butt.
Yeah. It's so silly, like, the things that you go through, like, at that age. It's so dumb.
I know. Anyways, Ash, how are you?
Oh, I'm so good. I had, you guys.
Can I open my Celsius?
Oh, of course. Should we do a little?
Yeah. Oh, shoot. I just hit the mic. Sorry, Michaela. Why was ASMR? That? Like, there was no pop. It was, like, so slow. Welcome back to my channel.
I'm just kidding. I had the weirdest thing happened to me last night. So I found out that my sister got a sauna blanket, right?
Sauna blanket.
It is a blanket. It looks like a sleeping bag, essentially. You zip it all the way up. You turn it on, and it gets really, really hot, and you sweat.
What?
Yeah, it's like,
so is it like made of plastic?
Yeah, it's like a really thick plastic sleeping bag that you plug in, and there's different levels.
And you're meant to like sweat it out.
And you're supposed to wear like sweatpants and a sweatshirt, so you're fully clothed. Your skin can't touch the like actual bag itself.
Oh yeah.
So you don't get burned, but it does get really, really hot, and it helps you like just detox, sweat it out. Post workout's great. So last night after going to the gym. This was my second time using it, and I was so excited. And I was like, hey, can I come over? Can I use your sauna blanket? She was like, yeah, of course. So
Wait, is it in your old room?
Yes.
Okay. I went in there the other day, and I was like, what the heck is that?
That's exactly what it is. And so I was so excited. I, like, turned on the TV, and I got in. And I did roughly 30 minutes last time.
Jeez.
So I was like, oh, I'll do 30 minutes again. Last time I got out a little early, and I was planning on doing about probably the same thing.
Yeah.
I fully suit up, like I have my sweatpants and my hoodie on, and I get into the sauna blanket, turn it on, and I'm checking out. I'm on my phone, the TV's going on, I'm texting people, like I'm checking out. And then I start feeling like too much, you know? And so I'm probably at like the 24-minute mark, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna call it. Like, I'm getting too hot. Like, I just want to end it. So I turn it off, I get out, I take a shower. I get so lightheaded.
Oh my gosh.
And so dizzy. And I start feeling like a little headache. And I was like, whoa. Like, I was like, oh, that must have been a little too much. It's okay. Let's go down and have some water. I go downstairs. I get so nauseous to the point where I almost throw up multiple times, like 3 or 4 times.
What on earth?
Alicia and I were supposed to make dinner together. She ends up making it herself.
While you're just
and
like
me
dying
just sitting
in the corner.
There pulling myself together. And I like tell her, I was like, obviously, while she's cooking, I was like, I don't know what happened, but like, I feel really nauseous and I'm not okay. Like, I had chills, like chills.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I had a fever. And she gives me a liquid IV. I drink the whole thing and I look it up. And it's common for people that go in, like, but not just saunas, like saunas, infrared saunas, any kind of sauna, you can overdo it.
Yeah, it's heat exhaustion.
And I fully gave myself heat exhaustion, and I was super dehydrated to the point where my hands looked weird.
What?
So I think I personally, because I had worked out and hadn't had that much water that day, I think, like, I was already dehydrated.
Yeah.
And then I did the sauna blanket.
And it sucked all your liquids.
And then I took a shower, and it was a hot shower. It wasn't like a cold shower, you know? So I literally had to sit. I took one bite of the taco, almost lost it. So I was like, okay, I'm not eating. I'm just going to drink my liquid IV and sit on the couch. And I finally got better. But isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's scary.
It's so weird. And I looked it up, and it's super common for people to accidentally overdo it with those things. So I mean, be warned.
Yeah, my first thought when you said what the sauna blanket does, I'm like, what if someone like fell asleep? You would just like die.
Well, luckily it's on a timer, so it wouldn't continue to stay on.
It wouldn't like cook you.
But I think there is an option to like do like 40 minutes. So if your body isn't prepared or used to it,
you
maybe start with 10.
Wow.
Start with 10.
I hate being like, I hate saunas or feeling like suffocated by heat, so I wouldn't. I don't think I would do.
But if my head was out of it, it's so good for your skin.
Yeah,
especially like your pores, like facial skin. So, and I've done it at gyms before, like in an actual sauna room, and I loved it. So I just assumed I would love this too. But yeah,
but be careful. Well, I have an update.
Ooh.
Speaking of being dehydrated, I drink water now.
Oh. You drink water now?
I drink. I am a water connoisseur.
What made you change your ways?
My doctor. No, my doctor.
So someone not giving you the choice?
No, my doctor literally was like, at my last endocrinologist appointment, she was talking to me about like after surgery procedures and like whatever. And she was like, you should be drinking so much more water than you already do. And in my mind, I was like, I don't, though.
You're like, I'm actually drinking less.
I'm like, I don't, though. And me and Ashley has yelled at me so many times because I literally will go days where all I'm drinking is Diet Coke and coffee. Like, that's just, like, my normal.
Yeah. But and to be clear, I'm not yelling at her just to yell at her. She'll say she doesn't feel good. She'll say she has a headache, and I'll be like, well, did you even drink a glass
today?
Well,
also, that's something you're very good at, and you're very, like, you preach that a lot to people. Like, hey, drink water. It's good for your skin. It's good for blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So my doctor was like, you should be drinking so much water for your specific surgery. And then I just got on a medication, and she was like, also, this medication is going to dehydrate you, so you have to drink so much. Mm-hmm. I did not know all the things that come with drinking a lot of water, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you do.
I pee all the time.
Yes.
I wake up at least 4 times a night. Like, I feel like I need to figure out a better system.
Okay, so can I give you the system?
No, I do. And also, while you're giving me advice on drinking water, is it normal? Like, I'll pee a lot. Uh-huh. And then I'll get up, and 5 minutes later, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I have to go again.
One, you're not used to it. Give it time. Your bladder will get stronger. Two, you shouldn't drink water before bed. So I would cut yourself off. Whatever your bedtime is, let's pretend it's 10 p.m. You should stop drinking water by 9 so that you pee it all out and don't have to pee in the middle of the night, because beauty sleep is important too.
It's been rough. It's been rough. But I will say I have been feeling more energized.
Right.
And I have been a little less murdery in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm starting to see the benefits, but yeah, I just pee all day.
Yeah, well,
all day.
It's flushing all the toxins out.
But I'm doing it.
It's important. Drink your water, kids. The message to be taken away today from today's episode.
She told me I have to get like a lot more blood drawn in a month, and I was like, I'm never going through what I went through.
Oh my God.
Like, I still have giant bruises everywhere, so I was like,
Taryn went and got her blood drawn without drinking water and has bruises everywhere. And she was shocked about it.
I'm showing you my bruise.
The best part was her stories. In her stories, she was so shocked by the bruising. And I, like, ever,
why couldn't
if it was a live stream, all of the comments would have been like, well,
you're an idiot.
Like, there's like them trying to poke needles into sand. Like, there's literally nothing there.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't argue with you.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Dua Lipa.
You know, when I play my music to people who I really respect or look up to, then I hear my songs in a different perspective.
Cardi B.
I know what it feels like when you feel like everybody turn your back and like, don't ever think it's because you did something wrong.
Harry Styles.
I feel like I'm falling more and more in love with making music each time I get to do it.
You know these artists for their songs, videos, and epic performances.
But they have so many stories beyond their fame.
That's what we're here to share with you on the Spout Podcast.
We sit down with some of the biggest names in music.
And along the way, our guests reveal stories that even their biggest fans may have never heard before.
Check out the Spout Podcast to hear famous people spout off about more than what they're famous for.
And find out who's spouting off next.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Should I get into the tearing it ups?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I have a really good one today. I'm not going to say the title because it fully gives it away. So let's go ahead and get right into it. It goes, hey, yo, with a little wavy emoji. Hi, girlies. Yes, ma'am, you can use my name. My name is Lexi, and I've been binging your guys' podcast for a couple of months now, and I'm almost all caught up. I drive for a living, so y'all are in my ear holes every day
for
10 hours. Teehee. Just can't get enough. Wonderful, wonderful, beautiful souls you chicas are. Wow.
Aww.
Thank you. I would stay and gush, but Taryn would get too cheesed. Too cheesed.
Excuse me?
Too cheesed? Where are you from? I've never heard of cheesed.
Are you saying I'm a cheesy emotional person?
She said, I would stay and gush, but Taryn would get too cheesed. Oh, and you too, Ash. So let's get on to this tearing it up. This is one that isn't close to any tearing it ups I've heard of on the pod. So here you go.
Okay.
Strap in. Literally. For a little backstory, I live in Colorado. Cheesed. Is that a common phrase? Does cheese mean like gushed up?
I would guess.
Yeah. If you've heard of cheese before, let
us
know.
That's my assumption. I'll look it up on Urban Dictionary.
While you do that, I'll keep going with the story. Lexi lives in Colorado, and she writes, we have this amazing hike called the Incline. Yes, I've heard of it, which is a mile-long staircase that leads to the top of the mountain, and then there is a long, twisty trail back to the bottom. My friend, let's call her Bailey, and I would go do the incline once a month together and then go grab some much-needed food at Five Guys afterwards. And for perspective, guys, I've seen people do this hike before. I've had a couple friends do it. It's insane. It's a mile straight of just steps.
Oh, dear God.
It is the world's craziest stairmaster.
Where is it? It's in Colorado?
It's in Colorado. Our friend Haley, our mutual friend Haley, did it with her soon-to-be husband when they first started dating. And watching the stories was hilarious because she was dying and she was not handling it well. And he's like ex-Air Force and so in shape and was just like crushing these stairs. And she was basically crawling on all fours behind him. And it was hilarious. But back to the story. The hike round trip took us about 3-ish hours. So you can imagine how worn out and starving we were after having an intense hike like that. We stopped and ate our fat cheeseburgers and fries and then jumped back in the car to head back to the 2.5 hour drive that we had to get home. I jumped on the interstate and started to head out of the city. As we were in the middle of heavy flowing traffic, I heard a noise. Well, it's probably not what you're thinking. I looked over at Bailey, and she was starting to convulse. You know, in that motion where it seems like she's about to throw up.
Oh, gosh.
She's covering her mouth with her hands, and her body is convulsing. I quickly rolled down the window and said, stick your head out the window. as there was absolutely no side area for me to pull over because we were still in the middle of the city and, to remind you again, on the highway. She sticks her head out, as well as the whole upper half of her body, out of the window and just lets it all out. As I looked in the rearview mirror, all I see was the throw up getting all over the person's windshield behind us.
What?
So they must have been going fast enough. She says heavy traffic, but clearly they were going fast enough for it to not go down. It went sideways, like horizontally.
Well, because it's like the wind tunnel, like around the car.
So the wind literally carried her vomit all the way over to the car behind them.
I do not even know what I would hurt. That makes me sick a little
and
bit.
And all Lexi sees when she looks into her rearview mirror is the windshield wipers going swish, swish, swish. Imagine that happening.
Also, like, I just have the word cheese still in my head.
I just think of the person behind them. Like, imagine it being me. Like, I'm sitting there. I'm in the zone. Like, I probably have a chill podcast going. I'm just minding my own business. And then that hits your windshield. Unreal. She continues, all I could think of was that scene. All I could think of was that scene from The Pacifier when they throw the baby's poopy diaper out the car behind them and it hits the car. She got back in the car and I started dying laughing, and she was definitely not okay. We drove another couple of minutes and then she just out of nowhere started throwing up again. I couldn't help but laugh. She felt so bad for throwing up in my car, but it was fine. I wasn't mad. I rolled down the windows and drove to the next gas station, took the shirt off my back and gave it to her so she could go inside and clean up. And I could clean up the car. Well, I mean, clean up the car like as best as I could. She was so embarrassed, but I did what I could to make her feel comfortable. We finished the drive home without any more incidents, thank God. This is definitely one of my favorite memories and thought you lovely girls would get a kick out of it. So today's lesson is don't eat a big cheesy, greasy cheeseburger and a tub of fries after an intense hike and then get in the car.
My God.
XOXO Lexi. P.S. I am a whole tearing it up. I have so many stories of weird shit that has happened to me, but this was a good one. Anyways, love y'all. Keep being you. God bless. Listen,
that
Lexi.
That one got me a little bit.
Take this as your confirmation to send us all of your tearing it ups, because I love the way you worded it. I love all the details. It was so good. Terrifying. That's terrifying.
Dude, I don't get grossed out by much. But throw up and other people picking their nose are my, like, two, they make me gag.
Yeah. I was thinking about this last night when I was very nauseous and had to bring the trash can to the couch with me. It's the worst. The absolute worst feeling is that feeling. And I can't imagine having to feel that way, like, in the car and having to throw up out the window like that.
I threw up on myself while driving. One time, and it was by far the worst experience. I sobbed for hours, like, because I was so scared I was going to hit somebody. And then I just, like, I couldn't do anything. Like, I literally, it just came out all over me, and I was on my way to go sing at a Mother's Day event. And I had to, like, call them and be like, I literally can't come. I'm, like, covered in throw up. It was terrible.
Not only am I clearly sick, but I look awful. And I cannot
you know how
come.
It's even scary when you sneeze when you're driving? Yeah, it was one of the worst experiences of my life. Not gonna lie.
Dear God.
Also, I don't think cheesed on Urban Dictionary means pissed off. Which I don't think she meant in that way. I think cheesed is like cheesy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She knows I like emotional.
Yes. I think that's what she meant too.
Okay, cool.
Well, should we get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. My story is called Binge Eating, Best Friends, and Weddings.
Ooh.
There you go. The whole roster.
Well, let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. Hey, Taryn and Ash. First, I would like to remain anonymous. The reason for that is because pretty much everybody in my family or whoever I meet, I always tell them about your podcast.
You know what? Keep doing God's work.
And you get a gold star for the day. My Enneagram number is 2 wing 9. I always get confused when
That's wrong. So you're either a two. If you're a two, then your wing is either a one or a three. Because it's the numbers next to you.
So nine is probably her second highest score. So she's like,
yeah.
Because, I mean, in that case, I would be a two wing seven. But it's just, second highest score was a seven, but your wings are right next to you. Okay. Sorry. I get confused. But that's interesting because she's me and you combined.
Essentially, yes.
Superpowers.
You lucky girl.
Wow. Best of both worlds.
Best of both worlds. Okay, I'm done.
So good. I'm 27 years old, and for the past year and a half, I've been dealing with binge eating. It is to the point where I will binge and immediately regret and ultimately make myself get rid of it. Watching Taryn's YouTube journey has really helped me feel like I'm not alone. My best friend of 9 years has also struggled with the same thing, so it was very easy to call her when I have an episode. She's getting married next year and had looked into weight loss surgery and is now having the surgery at the end of April. I am so beyond happy for her as she deserves the world. She's literally my rock and I don't know what I would do without her. My problem is we have always been the quote-unquote fat girls as we are both plus size. Now that she's getting surgery, I was horrified with myself because when she told me, I got super excited for her, but then out of nowhere felt so jealous. Like, where did that come from? She has lost 40 pounds so she can have the surgery, and I guess I was jealous that she could maintain a diet and not binge. Every time I try some new method of dieting, I always fall off the wagon and binge. She asked me to be her maid of honor, and it has been a little tough for me as she has two older sisters, and I always worry they are mad because she chose me and not them. Her relationship with her family is not the best. My mental health has taken a toll because I am 27 years old and I should have a better hold on my health mentally and physically, and I should be an adult and be able to control my binge urges and get healthy. In my family, even mentioning you have any sort of mental issue is not spoken out loud, so I feel alone. Her fiance is amazing as he is there for her and openly talks and goes to therapy with her. Again, here comes the jealousy. I feel like a complete failure as a best friend when I get jealous that my best friend is getting weight loss surgery, getting married, and seems like everything in her life is going great. I know God has a plan for my life, but it's so hard to just sit and wait. She deserves a world and deserves for me to be there for her. So my question is, how can I be supportive of her without being jealous? Even if this is not read, it was actually really nice getting this off my chest. Love you both and keep changing the world one email at a time. Okay, but like, should that be our tagline?
Should that be our logo? Like, that was
changing
great.
The world one email,
one
at,
email
a time.
At a time.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful.
Thank you for our next merch idea.
No, it's literally beautiful. Makes me feel like a superhero too. Girl,
there's so many things I want to talk
about.
There's
so many things, and I feel like me and Ash are the best people to talk about.
You
this
came to the right place.
Because obviously, of my like recent struggles, but I think like there's so much to dissect within this, mm-hmm, that like, and I know you're gonna like hit a lot of points too. So do you want to start just on other stuff, and then I can hit like the binge eating stuff?
Oh yeah, and
we can
talk about everything. Yeah. 27 is a great age. Thinking that there is a magic age where you're supposed to have your shit together.
Oh my gosh.
Is false.
Can you say that again? Because yeah, I think everybody needs to hear this, and I wish somebody would have told me this like before.
Yeah.
Say it again. Everyone who's younger or old, whatever you are.
Stop
listen.
What you're doing.
Listen. Listen.
Thinking
you're gonna mess up.
That there is a magic number where you're supposed to have your shit together is just so false.
Oh my gosh.
And it doesn't matter. In this instance, we're talking about health and binge eating, but this fits with careers. This fits with feeling like you have to be married. This fits with feeling like your savings account should have hit this number by this certain amount of time, or your subscriber account shouldn't be plummeting. Like, you know, like literally, there's so many instances where there's this, we get this, this lie in our head that we're supposed to be married by 30, or, oh my God, at the age of 33, like, my subscribers should be at this number, or I should have 2.5 kids. You know, absolutely. There's so many areas of life where we assign goals to age numbers, and that's just so false. Mm-hmm. And everyone's life, we've said this on the podcast before, is so different. So just because someone else's health and fitness is together by the age of 27 doesn't mean yours will be. And just because someone has 2.5 kids by the age of 25, like, yeah, doesn't mean you should. Like, everyone's life is different. And the sooner you accept that, the quicker and easier you'll be able to, like, move on and get your together.
Yes.
Because you'll be able to get your together in your own time frame, yeah, instead of having to compare it to somebody else.
Yeah.
And then something I really didn't like, a phrase that you said was, while everything was happening for her, you're supposed to sit and wait. And I think that was probably even unconsciously said, but this isn't the time to sit and wait. This is the time to take action, and whatever action it needs to be. And I'm not saying it needs to be what your friend is doing, but you need to do something for you. And feeling like you have to sit and wait for the good to happen to you is very negative and kind of toxic thinking, and is only going to cause you to spiral even more in thinking that you don't have your together.
Yeah, because, like, even right? though the end goal, yeah, you might have to wait for a husband to come or for what, like, A, B, and C, like, the yeah. end goals. But it's the sitting and waiting. Like, there yeah. still is so much action you can do
yeah.
to better yourself, to get to know yourself, to, like, explore in life.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you look at people who got married young, one of the biggest things they regret is that they didn't experience more life, right? Yeah. So it's like, if you have this gift of singleness, mm-hmm. and I've been trying to, like, say that because – I'm really tired of the negative narrative that's around being single.
Right.
If you have the gift of singleness now, like, live it up. Like, do everything you want to do. So yeah. when you get married, you have all this stuff to share with a partner instead of being like, dang, I wish I would have traveled. I wish I would have, like, tried coloring my hair that color. I wish I would have. Not that you can't do that with a person, right. but there's something different about doing these things individually than when you are in a committed relationship.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be separate from the goal. Like, if yeah. the goal is, in this case, we're talking about a husband. If the goal is to get a husband, then date.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? We don't have to wait for the husband to come and just wait. Like, let's actively do something. If the goal is health, then first baby step, water.
Yep.
Let's start focusing on water. You know, like, you don't have to, like, do a weight loss surgery or join some insane boot camp right off the bat. Like, no, let's, in this season of, quote, waiting, let's take steps. Mm-hmm. And I think those steps, those little baby steps, are what cause life change, are what cause you to feel more confident in yourself, because you're doing something, like, yeah. actually doing something and checking it off a list. And sitting and waiting isn't the answer.
Yeah, we were just on our friend TK's podcast.
Mm-hmm. You should check it out. It was
great.
You
guys should definitely check out that episode. It was. I feel like we talked about so much just amazing stuff.
Yeah.
But one of the things, I think it was TK said, she was like, all the small wins lead to your big win.
Yeah.
And I love that, because instead of it's like, oh, I'm taking all these steps, or, oh, I have to do this, hoping eventually I'll get here. It's like, no, like, every single thing you do in life, like, celebrate it and mm-hmm. see it as a win, and it all leads you towards whatever your big win is.
Yeah.
Because it'll come. It just might be different than, like, what you thought it was gonna be.
Yeah.
So I think if you, like, get in that habit of being just encouraging to yourself and celebrating with yourself, mm-hmm. it's gonna just change your outlook in general.
1,000%. And I said this on my solo episode, but life is so mental for me personally, and I think it is for a lot of people. And if you're like me, then doing something productive and actually doing it will make you feel confident that you can do the next thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this is going to, like, you're going to drink water and all of a sudden you're going to be at the magic size that you want your body to be, or at the magic age where all your shit is together. I'm just saying you did it, and you can be proud of yourself mm-hmm. of yourself for doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. What to tackle first? Okay. I'll hit on binge eating just a little bit, because I think I think I've talked about it a lot on the podcast and then on my channel, but I did not know what binge eating was until the night I literally was Googling, like, what is wrong with me, and then I found it. And what I'll say, because just some stuff, like, and I don't know what work you've done, but you said something about, like, you've tried all these intense diets, you've tried eating healthy, you've tried all these things. What I learned from my personal experience, binge eating is completely 1,000% a mental thing you have to figure out. It has nothing to do with diets or not being disciplined enough or not finding the right workout routine, or absolutely nothing to do with that. And what my therapist helped me to understand was that my body chemically associated, because when you eat food, you get a rush of endorphins, so it makes you feel happier. So when you're upset and you eat food and your body sensed that, oh, wow, like whatever you just did helped me to feel a little better, It starts to make that connection, to the point of anytime you're feeling upset, you begin to crave food in a way like I can't even – unless you've experienced it, you'll never understand it. The way you feel when you're about to have an episode is the most, like, you have no power. And it's, you can try to do all these things, you can, but once you're, like, in that space, it's really hard to get out. So, and then you have the guilt cycle, which is what it sounds like you're carrying it into getting rid of food. But the guilt cycle comes from, I'm so mad that I ate, so I'm upset at myself, I hate myself, which then causes more emotions that leads to another. It's just, it's the most endless cycle, but it is so tied to your mental health. And so I think whatever you do, you need to focus on that first. Mm-hmm. I stripped away any expectation of working out, eating healthy, anything like that, when I decided to tackle this. And I went straight into therapy. I went straight into learning about it. I went straight into finding healthier ways to cope when I'm feeling down. Mm-hmm. And that is why I am where I am. And now I'm like, I've built that foundation. So now I'm like excited to start eating healthier or cooking or working out, just so that my body can feel healthy. It's not tied to anything else, because I attacked it so mentally. I also attacked my body dysmorphia. I attacked this feeling that I need to be skinny to be worth something. Mm-hmm. So there's so much that's tied into this jumbled mess. But I think when you feel like you need to lose weight, you go straight into these things hoping it'll help. Mm-hmm. And you don't focus on the actual problem that's there.
Yeah.
And the more cycles you go through of dieting, failing, okay, I'm doing keto, yay, I lost some weight, oh my God, I just gained it back two times. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, the more cycles you do, the more you're just reinstilling more of those patterns in your brain. So you mm-hmm. gotta strip everything down and get to the root of what's going on.
Yeah.
So therapy, you gotta go and you gotta get help for that.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. It's Taryn.
And Ashley.
From Unsolicited Advice. And if you want to listen to our show without ads, you can now.
Just go to unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a one-week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too. That's unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com.
From a completely different perspective, but same topic. I remember in college, the last time I had a really bad, I was my senior year of college and I was about to graduate in like a couple months, and I was at my wit's end with stress, and I was working out every day at 7 and I was starving myself, and it was a really bad situation that I was in. And I remember I was cramming for a test. Alicia was inside, always eating healthy because she's my like buddy that we always do that with. I went to McDonald's and I got breakfast sandwiches at like 10 p.m., ate them and sobbed crying because I didn't want them, but I ate them. Mm-hmm. And my stomach hurt.
Yeah.
Immediately after, and like on to the next day. And I had a really weird moment of realizing like food is a drug also. And I think people forget about that.
No, yeah.
Your sugar, blood sugar levels spike so hard anytime you eat, even if it's an apple. Like, it's just like, that's just the natural reaction of eating food. And your body loves it. And guess what? Your body gets energy from it. So it is important to recognize the power that food has, even if you're like, oh, it's just McDonald's, or it's just like an ice cream, or it's one of these or one of these. It's still gonna give you like a high. And something that I learned during that time was, because I was so stressed and because I was trying to be a super skinny Pinterest girl at the time for my YouTube channel, I realized I was following a ton of fad diets that didn't work with my body.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing I can recommend is to pay attention to what actually feels good to your body, because everyone's body's different.
Yeah.
Like, I've tried, I think, every single fad diet, I can confidently say that. And nothing felt better than when I actually sat and realized, oh, I need carbs in the morning.
Yeah.
My brain will not work. I'll have a headache if I don't. And I need a heavy amount of protein. Otherwise, I don't have energy for the rest of the day. And once I realized that and realized that that's what my body needed, I stopped the fad diets and I just ate what felt good. And I've never been happier.
Yeah.
So avoid the fad diets, avoid the junk food. And I think give yourself, just do it for a week. You'll be shocked how dramatically it affects you.
Well, too, like, the biggest thing about binge eating is the shame cycle, and it distorts your relationship with food to the point where, like, when you're out with people, you order something healthier because you're so scared of the judgment that comes with ordering what you want to order. And then when you're alone, you're just like eating everything you can in like secret, you know, because it's this weird shame cycle that happens. So even for me, like, mentally, I had to learn how to like order what I wanted in front of people. And not to mention, when I was going through my binge eating, I was living with two people that were very healthy. So for me, like, it was so much harder because I really did feel very isolated in that. When we would like order from restaurants and you guys would get your like chicken salads, and then I'd just be like, oh, like, I want, and it was an exercise I had to do to be like, no, I want a panini and a side of fries, please. And the first few times I did it, I'd have to like go in my room and be like, I'd be like shaking, because it's so intense what hold it has on you. But for me, like, I had to get used to just eating what I wanted in front of people to like break that shame cycle. So it's so much more than just, oh, like, I ate food and like whatever. And I think people on the outside look at binge eating specifically and they're just like, well, don't eat, like, then just don't get it. Like, they don't understand all of the different levels of what that entails. And until you do and you've experienced it yourself, like, now anytime anyone brings up binge eating, like, my heart immediately breaks and I want to just go hold them and be like, let's talk about it. Like,
yeah,
it's an intense eating disorder.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say that you just discovered binge eating during the past couple of years. The first time I discovered it was high school. And I felt like every girl in high school was starving themselves.
Yeah.
Or at least in my friend group. And binge eating was the inevitable reaction to starving yourself. Yeah. Is eventually you go to a party and you turn around and there's a girl eating an entire bag of popcorn and like crying, and you're like, honey, what's going on? And I remember that happening to me and realizing, oh, I'm not the only one who does that.
Yeah.
And I think the reason I have grown so accustomed to my super healthy chicken salads and stuff is that's my safety in knowing, like, that's my order. Like, that's my go-to order. And it probably sounds weird, like, that's what I always order, but that was kind of my reaction to, like, okay, well, I'll have, when I want to have a fun meal, I'm going to make it a whole thing.
Yeah.
And that was my, I guess, plan of attack to get away from the
No, and I mean, guilt. You guys genuinely enjoy it. I'm not trying to talk down on like that, because
right,
like,
I was just clarifying.
That's part of like what you guys love to eat. It was more, I always was used to comparing what I ate to like other people.
Mm-hmm.
So like at that time, it was hard for me to like step into that. But yeah, it's a big thing, and I think you need to like definitely seek professional help for that. The other thing is the whole like jealousy issue. And I feel like we can sum that up in like we've talked about it so many times. Like you cannot compare yourself to other people and because it just doesn't work. Like you can't, it physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, it doesn't make sense. I cannot compare myself to Ash. We have different upbringings. We have different, biologically we're different, mentally we're different, spiritually, you know what I mean? So it's, for me to watch you and the track that your life is going doesn't make sense. Like, yeah, you might be more organized, but you also, like, your attention span might be different than mine, your upbringing, your habits. Like, so it's impossible to compare yourself to other people. Mm-hmm. And with jealousy, we've talked about it before of separating. Oh, I'm very happy for them. If you have that feeling, stripping it apart and being like, okay, well, what is it that I'm desiring and what are ways I can implement tiny steps, kind of like what you were saying in the beginning, like what are little ways I can like work towards this goal if that's what I want?
Yeah.
So I think just be happy for your friend and present. And then the other emotions that come are normal. Like when I see my friends dating these great guys or getting married or having kids, like there are sometimes like I'm home by myself and I will cry because I'm sad because I want that. But I've learned how to strip the emotion of it's okay for me to be sad about those things. It's okay for me to desire those things.
And it's okay for them to have those things.
But it does not impact how happy I am for everyone.
Right, yeah.
And you'll be such a more joyful person if you learn how to separate that and genuinely like love watching people succeed in life, but also being able to separate, dang, like I want that someday. And that's okay.
100%.
Yeah.
And it's okay to see their life and things in their life and make that a goal of yours.
Yep.
Like if you're like, oh, that looks nice, then let's sit down, make it a goal and figure out what the first step is to you achieving that goal in your own way.
Exactly.
Because in your own way, those words are very important.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, start with the therapy, start with the root of it. My life has progressively gone uphill since I dealt with that. And I think that's because that I finally attacked a lot of mental toxic mental habits that I had since childhood. But once I attacked that, and it was the roughest period of my life by far, once I attack that, like, everything else has just gone uphill, and I'm, like, the happiest I've ever been. So put effort and prioritize that. Like, you've got to, like, get to the bottom of that, and then you'll be surprised how much will change in your life.
Yes,
we love you, Anonymous. Keep telling everyone about us. Make us famous.
We love that about you.
Yeah.
Okay, ready to get into mine?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let's do the damn thing. This one is titled Love Triangle in My Mind, Stuck Between Two.
I have lots of those going on currently.
Oh, really?
All with celebrities who all want me.
Obviously.
If it's in your mind, you could do whatever you want.
True, true.
Yeah.
Hey girls, I listen to you guys all the time and finally got the courage to tell you guys about this dilemma I've been having in my mind. I am 22 years old, by the way, and it's going to be a little bit like I have to give you guys a backstory. So here we go. So let's start of May 2021, where I matched with David, 26 years old.
Wait, May 2020. So
2 years ago in May.
Oh, yeah. It'll almost be. Yeah. Okay.
26 years old. David was and is so sweet and caring, and I wasn't expecting on meeting an amazing guy off of a dating app. He's emotionally available, always putting me first, and is an amazing conversationalist and amazing at communication.
Wow.
Which is a big thing for me. We went on a couple dates and hung out with each other every time we have free time. He's always buying me flowers. He's a realist.
Wow.
He's just everything a female wants in a guy, and I will be honest, I did have other guys that I still kind of communicated with while we were talking. Like every like every relationship when it's fresh, but I started distancing myself and getting rid of them. But there was this one time I went out with my friends and we were walking out of the club to my car and just stood in front of my car and was having some girl talk there for a bit. There was this blue Mustang right in front of us where two guys were walking up to the car to leave, and I found the driver to be so attractive.
I love that he drives a blue Mustang.
Yeah, that's like straight out of a movie.
Like if she was like, and he was in a red Honda Civic. Like yeah. He's so different.
Yeah. She writes, let's call him Sed, and Sed is 25. I don't know what was in me this night. It could have been the drinks, but I was very bold.
I love those nights.
I was staring down the driver's side while they drove away, while my friends were telling me, you should have walked up to him. But something in me had a feeling they were going to turn around, and that gut feeling was right.
Wow.
Sed turned around and rolled down the window while I walked over to the driver's side, and he said, you're so beautiful. I had to turn back around, and I had a feeling you were interested by the way you were looking at me.
Okay, wait. What the crap? Like, why aren't guys like that?
Here's the thing, and I feel like I've had, let's put a pin in this really quick. I feel like I've had multiple conversations with girls who are like, guys don't do this, but are you actually giving them eye contact giving the come hither look?
Oh, yes.
Yes?
Like, there will be times where I'll be like, a guy will be staring at me from across the room, and I'll give like a cute little smile, and then like I'll talk to my friends and I'll like look back, like I'll keep like a bunch of like eye contact sessions enough to where it's like.
But I don't think hers was a cute little smile. I think it was a come here now kind of
look.
Well,
I mean, she's staring at him.
Exactly.
Like, but that's not like, even if a guy stares at you from far away, or you walk by each other and like. Like, there, if we walk by each other and a guy's, like, staring at me and smiling, like, I'll be like, hey. Yeah. But then they'll just be like, hi. And then they, like, don't actually say anything. The only ones that come up to you and are like, you're so beautiful, I want to take you home, are, like, the weird ones. Hey, baby girl. You so beautiful. You the prettiest girl I've ever seen. No. Is that your boyfriend?
No.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
Okay, we're done.
Literally,
we're
this
done.
Happened to me. And they're always the scary one.
Taryn should write a book, her dating life.
I should.
So anyways, Sed says, you're beautiful. I had to turn around. I had a feeling you were interested by the way you were looking at me.
Wow.
And she says, yes, I think you're cute and you should put your number in my phone. While I handed him my phone, LOL, he said he found that attractive while I was laughing. After that quick interaction, he texted me and said, please let me know when you get home. I want to make sure you're safe. And I definitely did.
How cute.
The next day, we talked on the phone and texted all day nonstop, having great conversations. So he invited me over the next day. And I said yes, because I honestly felt comfortable too. So I went over to his place the next day. And while I was on the way, he asked what my favorite color was. And I said red. Right when I walked in his place, he was in the shower, and there was a note on the counter with red roses, and the note said, I'm sorry I'm in the shower right now, but I hope you like these beautiful roses, which made my heart smile a little, LOL. After he got out of the shower and got dressed, we talked and talked and talked and enjoyed each other's company to the point where we were literally finishing each other's sentences, which was kind of scary because I never experienced that before. It even freaked him out how much we were connected. We spent the whole day together and even cooked together. After we cooked, I went home and just was wowed about the day and thought about David, who I still liked and felt bad about.
I'm not going to lie. I completely forgot about David.
I think we all did. I think we all did.
David who?
And David what?
Oh, David.
David is an amazing guy as well. We're always fooling around with each other, and I can truly be myself around him, and I love that. But then one day, Sed started acting different. He started getting more distant after the week we spent together, after the first time I came over. Of course, I communicated that, which he understood. He also is in school full-time and has a full-time job, but communication is big for me. A simple text would have been fine. Anyways, one day I checked my requests on Instagram, and I see a DM from this girl, and it says, are you talking to / dating Sed?
Oh, nah. There
it is. Which made my heart drop, because that's never a good thing when a girl DMs you about a guy that you're interested in. So long story short, this was his ex that he was still messing around with. And that day he started acting different was when they decided to make things work. Oof. Which hurt me, because we had gotten intimate within that 2-week time frame. Well, me and her told each other everything, and I honestly just left him alone. So after all that happened, David asked me to be his girlfriend.
Oh, Forgot about David again.
So we started dating, which was very good. And of course, I had to get rid of everyone in the past because I truly believe that in those first 3 months of a relationship, people that are in the past or lingering in the past just need to stay in the past,
yeah, I agree.
Which completely agree. Well, fast forward, me and David have been dating for over a year now after all that. But of course, we had our issues. When it's good, it's amazing. But when it's bad, it's really bad, to the point where it's hard to talk about and sometimes mentally draining. One day he found old messages from 2020 with this guy that I used to talk to on my Finsta. LOL, remember Finstas?
I never had one. Did you?
I never had one either.
I was too stressed about
having I can't have something else. Yeah. I gotta put. Yeah. And he got mad that I still have them. And I honestly forgot all about that. And the argument went on for hours. And I felt like I was in an interrogation room. One thing he did was he made me read the love letters I wrote and rip them up into pieces. And made me get on the floor while he interrogated me while he sat on the bed. Which I noticed he likes when people feel low. And I think he likes the feeling of power. Which, red flag, can be scary. He's never put his hands on me, but his words hurt more than anything. I love him so much. But there's a couple of other situations for another story, but we'll keep going. Well, said randomly follows me again a month ago and has been communicating to me on stories, and we interact here and there, but nothing so serious. I've recently been thinking a lot about what if with me and said, what if things got back together? What if we started talking? What if we started trying things out? But then I think of David. I think of where we live also now, and I love him so much. And lately he's been saying he doesn't have the hurry to marry me as much as he used to anymore. And I dated to marry, to be very clear. Is it because all the things me and David went through that makes me think what ifs with said? Is it that me and said never really got to try and take things further that makes me think this way? I honestly am not sure on what to do, and I need your girl's advice. I wish I can add more details, but it's getting very long. So thank you so much for getting this far.
Okay. Ooh. I don't mean to be blunt. But honestly, I don't think you should be with either of them. Like, what love triangle? Girl, you need to become a line and you need to bolt out of there. Like,
I think the key thing, this is, I love when Taryn and I are on the same freaking page. Because
when are we not always? Just
kidding. One thing that you said, in your own words, is that you were dating to marry.
Yep.
And I think we should just sit there and soak in that for a second. Because if you're dating to marry and David has told you that he's no longer
in a rush.
Essentially, he's saying he's no longer wanting to get married right away. That should be a huge red flag to you if that's your number one goal. And then let's go ahead and take a look at said really quick. He has given nothing, nothing that says long-term healthy relationship leading to marriage.
No.
So I hate to put it bluntly, but I think Taryn agrees with me on this. Neither of them were for you.
No.
Said was a fun fling.
He loved bombed you. Let's be honest. He
loved bombed you. Said was a fun fling.
I feel like he love bombed you, and then he starts dating. If they decided to get back together in the 2 weeks time that you guys were talking, that didn't just happen one day. Like,
yeah, well,
they
I don't
had
even
been
think he
talking.
Love bombed. He didn't say I love you. He's just a hookup guy.
Love bomb doesn't mean like love, like flowers and this, and I'm gonna make you feel like you're everything in the world to me. Like that, like, can be love bombing too, of just like where you come in and you're like, oh my gosh, and he's cooking for me, and he's this, and he's this, like, just giving you all this attention and everything you want fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of times guys do that because like they want to get into marriage,
trying to get to something.
Yeah,
that's so typical douchebag.
He was dating someone. Like, it's not like he was gonna eventually tell you. Like, the girl had to tell you. So for me, I don't feel like that's a good option.
Mm-hmm.
And then this other guy, like, I'm sorry, but my like red flag alert was like ding, 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 ding the whole time.
Yeah, power trips.
The fact that he made you not only read him all your love letters, but then rip him up, that sounds like very toxic behavior. Like,
yeah,
the beginning of a very scary story.
Yeah.
There's so much that you can break down about that specific act that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I get, like, sometimes him being like, I want to read these, but the fact that it's a very, like, weird dynamic that he made you stand there, read it to him, and then physically rip it up. Like, he could have been like, hey, I'd appreciate if you get rid of them. But, like, him physically making you rip it up in front of him.
It's very domineering.
Oh, it's scary.
And it's very scary.
And then the fact that you had to clarify, well, he hasn't put his hands on me. What? Like,
it's so common for us to want to defend people when we know that it's bad.
But also, if you have to say that sentence, like, oh, well, he doesn't beat me.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Oh, well, he's a good guy. No.
So if he's starting to pull away and not wanting your future girls, he's starting to show these behaviors. I don't feel like that's a relationship you should put. And you're 22. No.
Yeah.
That's a lot of red flags to see at that young in the beginning of a relationship.
Yeah.
So I feel like, obviously, talk to the people around you that know all the details, but that's a little scary to me.
Oh,
that's a little scary.
100% scary. To be clear, I think a lot of people have a lot of things in their life from old past relationships. Like, I was dating, this was a long time ago. I was dating this guy. We had been dating for over a year. And he was helping me reboot my computer with something. I got a brand new laptop. And he found old photos of me and my ex together. He was distraught and upset with me and was crying and was like, I can't believe you held on to them. And I was like, that's my life. And you know I'm not talking to him anymore. And I'm allowed to have old photos of old memories. Like, you're allowed to have prom photos of you and your ex and yeah. from high school. Like, if it's clearly the past, you're still allowed to have little photos. And, like, deleting your chat and asking you to delete your chat is something I think only your husband can ask. And in yeah. a polite way. Like, it's like, hey, listen, I know that you guys had good times together, but it would make me feel really more comfortable if you just got rid of those. I would totally understand yeah. that. And I'd be like, listen, you're my husband. I'll do that. No problem. Like, but there's a way to ask for it. What I'm trying to say and what I'm rambling at is it's normal to have past relationship yeah. stuff on your phone, on your laptops, photos, stuff like that. I think the only person that can demand that you take them down is your life partner.
And it should never and it shouldn't feel be like a demand. It should be yeah. a mutual respect. Like, oh, I see that you're upset by this and yeah. I care about you, so yeah. I'll do that. But yeah. I think, like,
the act of you tearing it up, I think, in all honesty, I think was God giving you a glimpse into what your marriage was about to look like if you were yes. to marry him. And I think it's important that you look at that way, because you're about to dodge a bullet. Yeah. You should just dump both of them.
And it's funny because, like, I personally, I mean, I've only been through one big breakup, and it was in my, like, 20s. But I personally was like, I need to gut and get rid of everything that had to do with him. Mm-hmm. And I found a box the other day that actually had a stack of pictures of me and my ex. I literally was like, I'm so sad that I got rid of everything. Because, like, looking through those and mm-hmm. seeing, like, baby Taryn, who was just, like, yeah. happy and love and, like, the fun, like, little memories. It wasn't where I was, like, staring and longing for him. It was like, oh my God, like, these were good memories, you know?
It's not love, it's nostalgic.
Yeah, and so I just think that's very intense.
It is extremely intense. And I think to say it's anything less is underplaying what a chokehold he has on you.
That's scary.
So I agree with Taryn. Obviously tell people who know both sides of the story, who yeah. maybe know him. We only know your perspective of it, but
I'm
it doesn't
just hung
look
up
good.
On that.
It doesn't look good. And I think, also, this is the time to get rid of both, focus on you. You're yeah. so young.
He made you sit on the floor. What does that mean? He made you
he
sit on
the floor.
He took
the higher ground.
Like, that he wouldn't let you sit next to him on
the bed? That
means
he gets
bed?
Off. No, I think he wanted to look down on her.
Yeah, but I want to know what him making her sit on the floor looked like. Like, if she just felt that way, or if he was literally like, no, you sit there, I'm sitting here.
I would be curious.
I'm yeah. scared of this guy.
Like, if he told you to sit on the floor,
or, like, don't sit by me,
then don't just break up with him.
Run.
Run, block him, get all your things.
Girl, you're so young. I wish I would have stayed single in my 20s and, like, just explored and, like, done all this stuff. But that's a lot of cards to show that are a little bit scary at that soon and that young. So I, when people tell you who you are, who they are, you should listen.
Yeah. And I think he's being very clear at who she is or who he is. Thank you so much for writing in. Giving us a lot of insight on flags to look for in guys. And I know you'll make the best decision.
Yeah. Yeah, we support you. Sorry for being so aggressive, but we just love you and we want what's best for you.
That's also why you wrote in. So we don't apologize for our opinions.
That's true.
But, you know, it's still your decision. Zero pressure. But run.
Wow. Well, we love you guys so much. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you
make sure that you ditch those guys.
Actually,
ditch the red flags.
I was so excited to try to give like the ending spiel, but you do it while I get my dad joke ready, please.
Oh, we got to do the dad joke first.
Okay. Ash, I feel like we've been doing this so long. I don't know if I've said these before, but I'm just going to say it.
Yeah, I could see that.
Okay. What did the rope say when it got tangled?
Knots.
Ash.
Is that right?
It's, oh no, not again.
Ugh, well, close.
But I mean, you're close. Oh, I was going to read another one. Can I read another one?
Yeah.
What made the newspaper? Oh, I've already said this one.
It's okay. We're done. We got one. Guys, you already know the drill. If you made it to the dad joke, we love you the mostest. Be sure to follow us on all the socials. We have a UA Instagram. We also have our own personal Instagrams. We also both have our own personal YouTube channels. Follow us on all the things.
Yes.
We also have TikToks. And we have a UA TikTok. We have our own personal TikToks. We have everything. So stop what you're doing. Follow us there. And we can continue the conversations there.
Yes, amen to that. We love you guys so much. Be nice to the people in your life. Check in on your friends.
And dump the red flags.
Go to therapy.
Yes and amen.
Bye.
Yes and amen.
Bye.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.